And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So who remembers way back on January 15? That is the week when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you start right then, that's an epiphany reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read that reading and I mapped it out. Of course, I looked at it on purpose. But most weeks, one chapter, some weeks, two chapters. And we read through the entire book of 1 Corinthians. You've now been through it on Sunday mornings. And last week, Easter Sunday, we read 1 Corinthians 15. Who remembers? It's called what? The resurrection chapter. That was a little bit low energy, so let's try again. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. That Christ our Lord died for the sins of the whole world. I'm pretty sure that includes you and me, right? The entire sins of the world have been paid for, redeemed by Christ, the risen one. Died, rose again, for you. And so St. Paul says this wonderful letter to the people of Corinth. Remember chapter 1? Called saints. Not called to be saints. That's what the translators say. Called saints. In the name of the crucified and risen one, you are the saints of God. And Paul's theology, always a grace-bound theology, a grace-filled theology, that you are saved by trusting in him and nothing else, right? What's fun about this book? Is there are some challenges at this congregation, right? He says to them, they're saints, you're saved by faith, through grace alone, by Christ the risen one. And then he says, guys, we need to talk about some things. Members of that congregation had disagreements between each other. What were they doing? They were suing each other. He says the sexual ethics of the world around them had crept into the church. He says, guys, that's not all right. And he said some of them had spiritual gifts, and that's wonderful. Everybody has spiritual gifts. But some of the people had used those gifts to make themselves like rock stars in the congregation. That's a misuse. He talks about all those things, chapters 11 through 14, the worship life of the church, the necessity to love one another, the necessity to use everything we have. He says it over and over again, to build up the body. Let everything be done that will build up. Then last week, the resurrection of the Savior. And here we are, 1 Corinthians 16. You've noticed this in other letters from Paul. How often is it that the last chapter of Paul is kind of the catch-all chapter, right? What was in that chapter? All kinds of stuff. It's like Paul's like writing, like, I've written a lot of stuff. I'm running out of paper. I better throw in my last couple comments. It seems that way, but we're going to organize them around three ideas. Here they are: stewardship, saints, and strength. Yeah, I said stewardship. And nobody's thinking, I hope Pastor preaches a stewardship Sunday the week after Easter. And by the way, I'm glad everybody's in church this morning. Our attendance isn't off. That's nice. Here's the funny thing. I've been here 3 years. I've never preached a stewardship sermon here. And partly because you guys practice it so well. But I want us to get 1 Corinthians 16:1. It starts that way, right? Now concerning the collection. That's the text. Now concerning the collection. He's going to say three things, and I want to say them. I want to say them all right now, and then we're going to look at them in a minute. St. Paul says that your practice of stewardship, it should be regular, deliberate, and proportional. All right? Regular, deliberate, and proportional. Hear these words. On the first day of every week. What's that mean? It's regularity. Regularity. You practice your stewardship. Part of what we have been blessed with, we use to support the work of the church. How often? We have offerings every week. Now, I want us to say something. We don't have to be so literal to mean you have to write a check to the church every single week. Some people write a check every week. Some people write a check once a month. That's what my wife and I do. But here's what he's saying. You need to be regular about it. We need to commit. We're going to do something to support the work of our congregation. How often? We'll decide how often, but do it. Does that make sense? Just do it. Here's what happens. Sometimes we sort of wonder, am I going to do it or not do it? He doesn't want us to do that. If we do something regularly, it becomes a habit. If we do it regularly, it becomes just, this is what we do, right? I've been saved by grace, and I'm going to take from the blessings of the Lord and give some of it back to the church. It's just what we do. Regular, on the first day of the week, deliberate, he says this, put something aside. How much? It's funny, it doesn't say, does it? Put something aside. Here's a question people love to argue about. Does the New Testament teach tithing? You've heard that debate? And some people say, no, that's an Old Testament thing. And some people say, well, in the New Testament, why wouldn't we continue, right? Here's the funny thing people will often say. People will point out, so, well, Pastor, Jesus only talks about tithing a couple of times, and it's usually negatively. Well, yeah, but what he's doing is he's talking about the way they practice their tithing. He's saying you tithe on everything. The smallest little things, they're always counting it out to the nth decimal place. But you know what they've done? They've done what they always do. They've turned it into works righteousness. Right? Works righteousness. Well, if I give this much, the Lord will love me. That's never, never Christian stewardship. It is not works righteousness. But Jesus actually says to them, you guys are tithing, but you don't have any fear and love of God. It would be better to go ahead and fear and love God, but not neglect the first, right? We want to hear that. Now, deliberate, you can decide how much you want to give. Here's the thing. If you are married, you have to decide that with your spouse. You need to talk how much we will support our congregation. But it needs to be deliberate, because here's what we might be tempted to do. We might come into church and look and see what is in my wallet today. And some of you are thinking, nothing is in my wallet. But sometimes in there is a $20 bill, a $5 bill, and a $1 bill. And we know the one is too little, and the 20 seems like a lot. So we put a five in the plate. Most of us, that would not be very close to a tithe. Am I right? $5 a week? Think about it. Decide what it is. Do it deliberately. Now, proportional. Where does he say that? The translators say it this way. Let everyone give as he may prosper. As he may prosper. Now, I want us to talk about, that's not a literal translation there. The Greek word is oihadao. Oihadao. Oi means good. Hadas means road. What does that mean? And by the way, it's a passive voice. Not that you're on a good road. You've been put on a good road. Do you see what it is? The Lord has blessed you. And what do we call it? We say, the Lord has put me on a good road. Does that make sense? Now, here's the thing he's saying. If the Lord has placed you on a good road, then out of that, be generous. I want to say this. Some people this morning are on a tough road. I want you to hear that the Lord knows that. If you're on a good road, out of your abundance, be generous. If you're on a tough road, then the Lord will go with you, right? So I understand that. But oikadao, that's our giving. Regular, deliberate, proportional. I do want to look at Malachi chapter 3 just a little bit, briefly, because you've heard it before, but I want you to hear it again. It's kind of a dialogue between God and his people where God says, will a man rob God? And they answer back, how have we robbed you? What does he say? In your tithes and offerings. And so God says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. I love that the text says, test me in this. Isn't that the case that there's many places of the Bible where it says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know what that means? That means don't do stupid things and say, Lord, bail me out now. That's what that means. But of all the things that God says, don't be put in a test, when it comes to finances, God says, in this, I want you to test me. God is saying, I want you to try generosity and see if I won't bless. Here ends the stewardship section. Amen. Now, Paul starts to say, I'm going to travel here, I'm going to travel there. He mentions a bunch of people. Why did I call that? I'm going to call that the section on the saints. I'm going to call it the section on the saints because it has all those names. And aren't you glad that you're not the reader of the scripture lessons when there's a lot of names? And David did a nice job this morning, and everybody looks at it and says, I'm glad I'm not reading today. But he says names. He says Timothy's going to come. Put him at ease. I wanted Apollos to come, but he didn't come right now. He'll come when he can. Stephanus and his household, they were early converts. They're still serving the Lord. Stephanus, Fortunatus, Achaicus, Aquila, Priscilla. Why the names? Not just here, many of Paul's books. He says, here's a bunch of names. You're thinking, Paul, I don't care about this part. I want you to care about it. Here's why. Paul is saying, there are saints, and they have modeled the faith for you. They have modeled the faith for you. What does it look like to be a Christian? Obviously full of imperfections, of course, but what does it look like to walk in the grace and favor of the Lord? I want you to think of some names. Think of people in your life who would say, I would think of that person. And the reason he says names is this. The Bible doesn't say, I want you to imitate an abstraction. He's saying, I want you to think of a concrete person that you can say, I want to be more like them. There's a wonderful proverb. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Now think of this too. Do you know some people who are a bad example? God is saying, don't do that. Right? Don't do that. But think of some people. If we want to honor the saints, what do? Imitate them. Imitate them. See what they do. Do what they do. I want you to have some names in your mind. Who am I imitating? I want you to be aware that in somebody else's mind, you are that saint. Last section is about strength. I don't want to say, I know this verse can kind of make modern people feel a little squeamish. So I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Act like men. And people go, ooh, that's kind of a tough word. Here's what we hear. In the modern world, we hear a lot of criticism of toxic masculinity. And I want to say I partly agree and I partly don't. I do agree obnoxious, boorish behavior is not to be affirmed. But we hear so much against toxic masculinity that sometimes we've taught against masculinity. And that is not biblical. It is not, right? God is actually saying that sometimes you have to man up. He is saying to them, I think he would say to us, if you live in tough times, there are some attributes you need. Now, he does not give us a long list. He says a couple things. Be watchful. That's a word, by the way, that elsewhere in the Bible talks about anticipating the coming of the Lord, looking forward to it, living in the light of it. Stand firm in the faith, be strong. Be strong. By the way, I don't think he's telling just the men. I think he's telling all of us. We need to be strong. I want to tell you a true story. You know, pastors say true story because sometimes we're telling a metaphor. This is true. When my maternal grandmother died, her name was Goldie Hinkle. That's a great name, right? Goldie Hinkle from rural Virginia. When she died, she was living in Virginia. I was living in Connecticut. I, of course, was going to go to her funeral. I was thinking, I'm a pastor. I wonder if they're going to ask me to say anything. And nobody called and said they wanted me to speak. On my drive there, I have a cell phone. Nobody called and said they wanted me to speak. The day of the funeral, we were in the church. Minutes before the funeral, the pastor said to me, do you want to speak at this service? And I thought I would have liked to have a little more notice than that. So I said, I don't want to speak at the service, but we were going out to the graveside. Can I speak at the graveside? And I sat at the funeral service praying, Lord, give me something to say. Graveside, everybody's sitting close, a gathering of intimate family members around this godly woman. And I said to them, give me one word to describe Goldie Hinkle. One word. And this was entirely unrehearsed. The majority of the people simultaneously all said the exact same word. And that word was stubborn. And the beauty is, I knew that would be the word. Because guess what my grandma was? She was stubborn. And you would have noticed it. Now here's the beauty of it. They all said the same word, unrehearsed. And at first they knew that that was the word. Then they said it. Then they realized they'd all said the same thing. And then they laughed like, wow, she was stubborn. And do you know what I said to them? I said to them, we live in a time that calls for holy stubbornness. Holy stubbornness. I do not mean pig-headed, unteachable stubbornness. I mean a holy stubbornness that says, I know who I am in Christ, and that's not negotiable. The world is putting all kinds of pressure on peoples of faith. And you need to be strong. 1 Corinthians 16 says, be strong. It's funny, last chapter, the resurrection chapter, do you remember that the last verse of chapter 15 says this? Be steadfast, immovable. Do you know what he wants you to be? We could say stubborn, I think. Let me ask you this. In a Lutheran church, are there any stubborn people? No, of course not. We have our share of them. Oh, we're pastored by one of them. What are we talking about? Anyway, holy stubbornness means I am who I am in the grace of God. Christ Jesus died for me, rose again. This is to be steadfast and immovable. I will practice good stewardship. I will follow the example of the saints. And in the Lord, I will be strong. You will be strong. You will be strong. I want to close with Paul's last words that close this book. Very last words of the book. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.